In Northwest news from KPLU, Seattle photographer Garrett Vinn travels the world to capture images of wildlife and, above all, birds. He says they're powerful indicators of environmental health. His pictures fill more than 200 pages of a new book called The Living Bird. It's published by Mountaineers Books to commemorate the 100-year anniversary of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, where Vinn works as a producer. KPLU environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe asked him into our studios for an interview.
Garrett Vinn, welcome to KPLU. Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure.
So Seattle's your home now, and you travel the world from here capturing images of sometimes increasingly rare birds. You aim to create a sense of wonder about these birds. Why wonder?
Well, I think a lot of people, you know, when they think about bird watchers, they think about people that go out and look at birds. And while this book is full of beautiful photographs so you can look at birds, it's the things that you know about birds that make them so fascinating. And I think, you know, when a person sees you can walk down Alki Beach on the trail, and there's the riprap of rock down there, and there's these little shorebirds that live down there called surf birds and black turnstones. And most people would just walk by there thinking that they're always there. But the surf birds nest in high alpine tundra of the Alaska Range and Brooks Range in Alaska. Spend the summer up there. The black turnstones nest in coastal tundra all along the Bering Sea coast. They make these incredible long-distance migrations. They behave very differently up there, have these amazing courtship flights and all these different things. So I think when people can look at these birds but then realize all these different things about them, it makes them just exponentially more fascinating to think about what those little eyes have seen and where those little wings have taken them. So I think, you know, you look at one of those birds on the rock at Alki and it becomes a much more incredible, interesting thing.
Right. They're so amazingly adapted in terms of the ways that they migrate all those thousands of miles. They find caches of food that were hidden months earlier. I mean, there's all kinds of weird examples of their kind of almost like superpowers.
Yeah. So across the board, every bird has fascinating things about its physiology or behavior or migrations. There's just a limitless number of things that, you know, you look at a bird in the bush and it looks like maybe a pretty bird in the bush, but, you know, there's so much more to that bird.
Now, you also take video and audio recordings, of course, and you brought in a few. I want to listen first to a pair of caterwauling barred owls. Let's have you set the scene for us before we hear it. What are we about to hear? What is happening here?
Okay, these are a couple of barred owls, which there's, you know, some in Discovery Park these days and in the Arboretum in different places. These ones were recorded deep in a swamp in Arkansas, which, you know, this was originally an eastern species that evolved more in southeast United States, probably. They really like swampy, wet areas where there's lots of different type of prey. And these owls are two owls near their nest, and they're announcing their territory because they live in this area of very high owl density.
It's just amazing that those are birds. They almost sound like monkeys.
I know, it's crazy. When you have a couple of these owls doing that overhead and in a dark night in the trees, it really raises the hair on your neck. It's incredible sounds.
Some of the most striking images in this book are of owls, I think. What is it about owls that are so affecting?
Well, I think it's partly that, you know, the sounds in the night, the mystery of owls. They're people don't see them a lot, so they have this mystery around them. But they also have this appearance that's, you know, more human-like. They have these large forward-facing eyes, so they have a more kind of relatable face like a primate would or some of these.
Switching to a bird that's been in the local news a lot this year, the greater sage grouse. The feds decided not to add them to the endangered species list, instead letting states continue to manage their protection. It's one of the West's most charismatic birds, partly because of its mating displays. I believe you brought in some audio of that.
Yeah, so this is one of these species of birds that display on leks in the spring. And what a lek is it's a place that's traditionally been used by a species for up to thousands and thousands of years, we don't even know. But they come to these places, all the males in the spring, day after day after day in the morning, and the males all display. Their plumage transforms, they have these big air sacs they inflate and create these different sounds. And then the females will come and weed through the males and pick the one that they like the best to mate with. And to us, again, it's like the bird calls. They all look completely the same. And you can't imagine what the females are seeing in them that determines that's the one I want to mate with. But you know, in studies, it's consistently shown that one or two males on each of these leks will mate with, you know, 80-90% of the females. So they don't know exactly why.
The sounds are amazing. Let's take a listen to that. Again, it's hard to believe that that is a bird.
Yeah, it's a crazy sound, and it's amazing to be, you know, in a blind, which is like a little tent where we film from when we're on these leks, but to be in the pitch black in the morning and then have all these birds arrive and be doing that all around you, it's really one of the great spectacles in North America to experience that.
The sage grouse will be managed by states for the next 5 years. You know, what do you think is the narrative of that? Is there hope for birds like the sage grouse moving forward?
Well, it's extremely complex situation with so many issues and stakeholders involved in it. You know, there's hope as long as all of the people that have pledged, all the groups that have pledged to undertake all these voluntary efforts within all these states to maintain, restore sage grouse habitat and just the sagebrush ecosystem in general. If these pledges are met and people continue to value the bird and the landscape, we can be successful. We know we can be successful. It's just a matter of sometimes when a decision like this happens, you know, a lot of effort is done up front to try to stem a listing, which was probably a good thing in this situation. But the real work begins now.
All right, Garrett Vinn, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Let's just go out on some bird sound now. What is this?
This bird, the spoon-billed sandpiper, its migration takes it from the far northeast of Russia and Chukotka down to Southeast Asia, places like Myanmar and South China and Thailand and places like that. So I filmed a nest where the chicks hatched, which was the first time that's ever been filmed. So these little recordings and calls are the very first moments that these chicks started to leave the nest to feed on their own, and the male is kind of talking to them, keeping them close.
Sounds of the spoon-billed sandpiper, filmed by Seattle photographer Garrett Vinn in the Arctic. The book is The Living Bird. You can find links to more information as well as a photo slideshow of some of Vinn's images on our website, kplu.org. If you're already here, just look around. If you're listening to this on NPR One, check it out, kplu.org.